Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, welcome to Scam Wow. I'm your host, Caitlin Brodnick. I love you all and I love scams. Guys, I'm so excited about this episode. I have two of my favorite women. They're just so lovely. We laugh the whole time. I'm trying to write a description of this episode for our episode notes, and we just gather around, get ready to sit and have a conversation with your best friends that goes a million different places. Yes, we will get back to the topics that we start, but I don't know when. I don't know when in the episode we get back to it. But don't worry, we're gonna circle back. They're just the funniest women. It is Chet Siegel and Priya Patel. They have their own podcast called Nibbles and Bits, which is in our episode notes. It's wonderful. They're so smart. They talk about food and life and culture, and it's so interesting. They're both comedians. We met through our comedy connections and UCB, and I've loved them for years. I've been fans of them for years, and I'm really excited we get to have them on this episode. So enjoy yourself. Happy Jewish New Year if you're celebrating. And I wish you all the best. And I love you all. Okay. So today we're talking about, I want to hear about all the scams you guys, first of all, your podcast is so cool. It's so cool. And I love that you will talk about different foods and then do recipes and then talk about, like, it's such a fun topic that have so many different avenues that you can jump in from that I love. I love that about your podcast. So I'm really excited. I'm linking it. Everyone can listen. And then you guys also have some fun scams you were talking about, which I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. Food is food. We love
is a scam.
Food is a scam.
It is.
Food is a scam. The fact that we buy it, inherently scam.
That is an issue.
Inherent scam.
Totally.
Grocery stores, how traditional grocery stores are set up.
Yes. Scam. Total scam. Scam.
Marketing scam, all of it.
Yeah. Wait, did you hear? So I, not to talk about another podcast, but I was listening to Add to Cart podcast. I love Add to Cart.
I don't know Add to Cart.
It's very good, but it makes you want to buy everything.
It does. It makes you, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
They do make you want to buy everything.
It's like, it's a shopping podcast, Priya, that like they talk about the things that they buy and buy into. So it's really fun. And they talk about, usually it's about health and skincare. And so I'm obsessed because I want every sort of skincare.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm obsessed with skincare.
But Sujin Bach was laughing about how imperfect foods was just another thing that like people will pay for. Like they just found a way to like market like dumbass food. She goes, I would never buy imperfect foods. Like that's an ugly ass watermelon. I don't want that. She's like, but someone's, and I think it's really funny because I do think it's a good idea, but her perspective was like, don't be duped. But I don't know.
I think that's fascinating. I love this idea of like, don't be duped by purchasing a less than perfect,
an ugly tomato,
grown organic item.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny. I was like, oh, I never looked at that as a scam. I thought of it as like a smart way to like have less compost.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like the business, the food industry, you know, uses, first of all, the food industry typically uses imperfect food. It's used the weirdo squash is canned and all that
Shit.
You know?
Especially once if you're eating a processed, any food that's done. And I know that processing is like it's a big word in food, but but by process, I literally just mean anything where you're taking from whole ingredient to a broken, to literally cleaned, cut, diced, whatever.
Right.
That's when you're dealing with the most imperfect foods.
Right.
That is what they're being used for.
They're used in cat food, dog pet food. They're used for like everything. All kinds of things.
Don't even get me started on animal food scams.
Oh, get started. I want to hear everything.
Damn.
Keep going.
Such a scam.
Well, I love this.
I have a dog with a little bit of a sensitive tummy, just like her mother.
Mine okay. too.
Oh, is your dog also a Virgo? My dog is also a Virgo.
Well, see, we don't know. I got him on Mother's Day and like whatever. So we decided he's March, but we actually don't know his birthday because they definitely lied to us at the shelter. They said he was
at the shelter.
Yeah, they said he was 9 weeks. And my friend who's been around dogs is like, that was a 5-week-old dog, if not younger. And they said he was going to be a beagle mix and he's a Pitbull lab mix, and he's like over 70 pounds. They said he was going to be a medium dog because everyone in New York City wants a medium dog.
Every another huge scam, dog huge adoption, especially if it's a puppy. Yeah. Every puppy, if you're adopting a dog and it's a puppy, here, let me just tell you, it's a Pitbull.
It's a Pitbull.
I personally love Pitbulls. I have a Pitbull.
Same.
Was she marketed to me as a pit bull?
No.
Nay.
No.
Nay. She was a shepherd. Mix. They love to throw the mix in there. Removes any culpability.
Mix means pit bull.
Exactly.
Mix means it's a pit bull. It's a full-blown DNA test. That is full-blooded. If you want a purebred pit bull, adopt a dog that says it's a lab mix.
Yeah.
Do that instead of going to a pit bull breeder. I mean, don't believe in breeders. But like, and how big a dog is going to be. I mean, when I adopted my pup, she was 5 pounds. Oh. And they told me she was going to be like 20.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Doublet.
Yeah.
Doublet.
I mean, 40 is not that big, you know, but still, you know,
but the thing too, twice the amount
they
should be.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dogs.
Just say they don't know. They should just say they don't know. Just be like, I don't know. I have no idea. This is a grab bag of a dog, and you're going to love it. Right. I like the way you look.
And like animal food.
I guarantee it.
It's crude. You look in the back and it's like, what's inside this meat cereal I'm serving up to old Pooch every day? And it's crude animal protein.
Yeah, that's the phrase. I don't know what that means. And I
don't know what that means.
Crude. Like, does they use that for oil? A crude is like unprocessed animal protein.
I guess. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's waste products from meat manufacturing companies, like from meat process. Like they'll just, whatever their waste is, they'll put in that. I mean, because my dog has such a bullshit tummy, I buy a medicated, it's like, I call it her French kibble because it's from Quebec and it's for so a specialized diet. But it's so wild that they have this weird processed meat food that is in a bag that is somehow like $80. It's just a scam.
I know.
And then at the same time, it's like you don't cook it. Like it's somehow it's been cooked and it can be dried out. It's just sort of weird. I'm always like,
how is this shelf stable?
How is this shelf stable?
Right. And then I think about like, what about, okay, this is totally, guys, we are all over the place. I am studying Spanish on Duolingo and there's this great Duolingo. I call it Dua Lipa, but I'm studying with Dua Lipa.
I love them.
Because that's all I can do. And there was a story about this dog that lived in Chile for like 25 years because the mom made it chicken every day and fresh like bread from the bakery.
It's just like,
and I'm thinking,
any living
thing. My dog doesn't have any of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This is like from
the bag. Like any other thing. There's no regular, like I think the true kind of kernel of scam.
Yeah.
Is the lack of regulations within food and the agriculture and the FDA and all that shit. It is wild how many people from like factory farming, they go back and forth on the boards of the USDA and then of the farmers associations, of the Tyson chicken, of the fucking whatever. There's no oversight over that whatsoever. And no one wants to touch
checks and balances.
Because it's like, what, you want to take the food out of the farmer's plate and whatever? Like,
for sure.
It's such a touchy subject that, like, but farmers are getting so fucked already on food. And then, like, you're supposed to expect people to give a shit about animal food regulations. Like, yes, but they don't because we can't even regulate our own food. Like, whether it's, like, labels like organic. For sure. Or certified humane, whatever you have to look
or
for.
Like, non-GMO,
non-GMO.
Or non-antibiotics. I mean, the scam of how things are labeled also.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes.
Huge.
No, go ahead. I just think it's so crazy because, like, I'm looking at something and I've heard this before that you can look for something that's, like, you know, non-GMO or this or that or, you know, non-antibiotics. But then also for, like, let's say eggs. But then also all the chickens are kept in, like, a handbag, you know, and you're like, they can't breathe. So it's like the chickens are miserable. No. So it's like, I just don't know. There's just not enough information. And I also am in the world where I can't have my own chicken coop, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to take that on. Like, I would love to just be at a place where I can trust the grocery store that they can give me the right chicken egg.
Well, I know the place.
Oh, you're talking about
the food co-op?
Oh, she loves
the park. The park.
Priya loves the co-op. The co-op.
Is that it? I don't know that.
The Park Slope Food Co-op is in Park Slope and Brooklyn, and it is an institution, and it's been around. It's like the first food co-op.
Oh, okay, okay.
Or something. It was crazy since like the 70s or early late 60s or something like that. But I was a part of it for 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
And I learned about they vet everything that's in that store. The whole store is vetted. It's like 300 a local, so everything is in within 300 miles, except for like papayas and pineapples and shit. But like a lot of the food is extremely local. Try to be, is it 300? I just said that so confident.
You did. And I was like, that's good. And then I was wondering, what's 300 miles away? But that's great.
Yeah. That's I think it's they have like a 50 or 300. You heard it here first. I forget. It's been a while.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. I don't know. But they have a whole section for eggs, and they have a laminated, I say this all the, I think Chet has heard this maybe 50 times. They have this laminated sheet next to the case, and they have all their brands listed that they get eggs from. And then they say, like, you know, what do they do with the male chicks? Do they clip the beaks? How far away is the processing? Do they lay the whatever? Like, do they take the chickens with them, or do they, what do they do?
No
with
way.
All, literally every fucking thing you could possibly do to a fucking, to get an egg, they list. And so, like, you see, you can make your decision. Like, okay, I'm not going to spend $15 for a fucking dozen of eggs, even though those chickens were, like, massaged or whatever.
And all have their beaks. And none of the male chickens were put in a blender, which is what they do.
Right.
They destroy
them. Which is what they do. And so, like, okay, fine. I'm not going to maybe do that. But I will, none of the eggs there are, like, awful. You know,
okay.
But like the more reasonably priced carton of eggs might, I don't know, do some, like maybe it's a further distance that the chickens have to drive or whatever. Like
the
maybe
chickens, there's some to commute into where they
to commute.
It's a long to where they lay their eggs.
It's really tough.
You know, they have to switch a few trains.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's a lower price point. It's a lower price point.
It's a lower price point. Or like maybe they do clip their beaks, but at least you know that's what they do. And so you can make the decision accordingly. And I love that. But like most grocery stores, they, you know,
no
that's
idea.
Not the case.
I didn't even know they did that. That's terrible.
That is horrifying.
I will tell you, though, I did learn because we were talking about, and this probably is, I'm sure, cut out of our episode, but before before we were recording, we were talking about how TikTok provides us with so much more information. And I found out about a TikTok chicken farmer, and she was telling me that if you go to Trader Joe's, and this is all on a video, and I really love her. I don't know her name, but I'll find it and put it in our notes. If you go to Trader Joe's, they have like fertilized eggs and non-fertilized eggs. And if you take a fertilized eggs and from Trader Joe's, bring it back to like your little chicken warmer and incubate it, a real chicken will come out of that. And she's had a lot of success with it. So you can choose fertilized or non-fertilized. She also said that how people freak out about like, am I eating an egg? Like, is this already a baby chick? It doesn't start to become a baby chick until it's basically warmed and defrosted. So all of the eggs in there that have yolks, even yolks with like little tiny dots in them, that was just like a burst blood vessel or something. She was like, none of these chicks are babies yet. It's only babies until they've been sat on and they can start to like cook and become a baby chick. So I used to freak out about eggs, but I was kind of relieved that she was like, this is basically if you get your egg and it's put in the cold right away, never thawed out, never, you know, defrosted in a sense, of frosted of like as much as you can a chicken egg, then it never is a baby chicken, which I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Like I have a lot of guilt, like, oh my God, I'm eating a baby chicken, but it's not actually. It hasn't. And I believe in, you know, abortion. So it's also like, it's not a real fetus until it's a real fetus. And it's like, it hasn't. So what she was showing too is that if you take an unfertilized chicken egg when it's cold from Trader Joe's and you put it in your heater, it won't necessarily turn or it won't become a chicken. But the fertilized ones, as soon as you put heat on them, like as if it's a chicken sitting on it and warming it, they turn into the real eggs.
Whoa. And what does fertilized mean? Does like a rooster come on it?
Like, so, what? Yeah, that's what I thought. But I think it has to be that There must be boning before.
The holy process of a rooster.
I don't know. I gotta find out. Maybe it's a warmed egg. I don't know, guys.
I don't know.
I'm gonna Google. Like, how do you, what makes a fertilized egg?
How do you know?
Like, what makes it?
That's, okay. I had no idea. I actually think now, to be honest, they shouldn't be selling fertilized eggs.
I was thinking, I was like, I didn't know, why would you want the, unless you want to grow your own chickens.
I don't know why that flips me out. That you're selling
Trader Joe's is a wild one for
I guess
they're like, you like eggs?
Yeah.
Here, have a dozen chickens. Yeah. Go sit on these eggs.
From the people who wrap every vegetable in plastic.
In plastic?
Yeah. Here's an onion in a plastic bag.
Okay, great. Okay, this is what it says. When a hen, this is all from google.com, you guys. Okay. When a hen mates, the rooster's sperm penetrates the egg and the blastocyst, a tiny white spot which carries the chick's DNA, becomes fertilized. It's then called a blastoderm. Yeah, you call it a blastoderm, no duh. The blastoderm is what becomes the chick. And it's incubated by the right temperature and humidity levels. So I guess fertilized chicks have sperm in them.
So they do.
So if you want sperm eggs or no sperm eggs?
Yeah.
Do you want spermy eggs or...
Yeah, I guess I don't... I mean, that's gross and I don't want to think about that person. I don't know. Everything's gross.
I want to know what... I want to know what the buyer at Trader Joe's...
What is the buyer thinking?
Like, what is that?
And
what
is there any reason that you would... So, can you eat a fertilized egg? Is that, like, a thing?
Yeah.
Have I eaten a fertilized egg?
Or are they just there for people to, like, grow your own chicken farm?
I don't think that many people are chicken farming at Trader Joe's.
Right?
Like, the amount... Okay, wait.
So, you must be able to eat fertilized eggs.
Okay. Chances are you've never eaten a fertilized egg. By thegreatest.com, because nearly all eggs are sold commercially are produced by hens that have not mated. Oh, so maybe the fertilized eggs mean that they like are hens that are like having the great life on the farm and they're like boning.
They
happen to be fertilized because they're fucking.
Do you
like,
want your
crazy.
Hens to bone or not to bone? That's
the question. Do you want your hens to be really relaxed or do you want them to be a little high strung?
Yeah. So if unfertilized eggs can't hatch, obviously.
Great.
Sure. Which is great.
We love that.
After the rooster has mated with the hen, it will take 7 to 10 days before the egg will be fertile. You can buy form chicks eggs in a grocery stores. Why the fuck would you want to fucking... If guys, call in to either of our podcasts. If
please
you
do.
Are into in. Fertilized... I mean, don't tell me why, but like, is that a thing? You know?
Tell me why.
Actually, tell me why. Tell me what you're doing with them.
Tell like, me are what you're doing.
And if it's a good flavor... If there's something about that rooster cum that really just makes those eggs fluffier, you know, like just tell me what it is.
Ah, it's so insane.
Well, protein, I mean, maybe.
Maybe,
but I don't know. This is bizarre. I love that it comes from a sexually active hen.
Right. Right. They love to bone and they're living a good life.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, I aspire to that as a sexually inactive hen.
Humans are a scam.
Humans are a scam.
I mean,
we're so weird.
Like
guys.
I was saying before, it is bizarre. That's it is insane. Just not right that there's so much money. There's such an industry behind selling food.
Yes.
This absolute base necessity, this thing that technically we used to as a civilization, our whole existence was around us gathering and creating and procuring. Now it is it's another product. It's another commodity.
And it also feels arbitrary too. Like my grocery store is, we call it like the oversized bodega, and I love it so much. It's run by a Dominican family and they're all my favorite people. But we know that if we want any sort of like Dominican product or any sort of like Latin cuisine, it's way cheaper than anything else. And so like that's where we shop. And because otherwise they just sort of price it at whatever they kind of feel like. There's this like arbitrary thing, like the grocery store prices it at whatever they want. And so, I mean, they have amazing avocados, but I'm like, I can't get, if it's something they don't care about, like a gluten-free like white bread toast, they're just like, who cares? These honkies, they'll charge like $15 for it. And it's like, I think it's fascinating too. I mean, I get it. I'm in on the joke. I'm like, okay, fine. Do whatever you want to survive. But also, it's fascinating that there's no rhyme or reason that this New York City grocery store is like, we don't feel like it.
Grocery stores. So again, Park Slope Food Co-op. We love her. She,
yeah, I love her.
Across the board, I think it's 11% markup, mm-hmm, period. Okay. So, like, when you're a member, you can shop at this store and you can get some really terrific ingredients, produce, whatever. And it's all across the board, 11% markup.
Wow.
Cheeses, like the cheese general, like whatever, they can be so expensive because of the markup.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily have to be, I don't think. So, like, when you go to a grocery store and they have these sales and all these things, it's like they literally mark up some products like 200, 400%. Right. That do not need to cost that much. That is across the board, unless you are working at a cooperative sort of space.
Wow, wow.
Like, that's generally how produce and even like flour and like random shit that's like is like very much a markup.
Right. Which is wild because most grocery stores, supermarkets and groceries in general operate traditionally at just they're not hugely profitable stores, mm-hmm, from an owner's perspective. Mm-hmm, like, because you're constantly dealing with things that are turning over and stuff like that, it's just, it's cuckoo bananas. And it's wild to me that I have a brand of coffee I love. It's Partners. I love Partners Coffee.
I know them.
Oh, they're great. They're a Brooklyn roasting company. And there are three or four grocery stores in my neighborhood, depending on where I go. It's $19 a bag or $15 a bag or $13. And this is the same bag.
The same block. Yeah.
Fucking beans in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. And wild. That's also like something that we all as a society go like, well, we have to hunt for things. Like it's not just like we get to go grocery shopping. It's like, no, we have to hunt because we're going to get screwed over. Like it's a whole new thing that we know. Yeah. Like there's a tactic to buying just to feed ourselves.
That's actually, I had never even thought of it from that framework of like, this is our version of hunting. It's now we're hunting for the, now that we have, now that, you know, man is, Jean-Paul Sartre, man is condemned to freedom. So we have too many choices. Jean-Paul Sartre, you know, I love you, pardon Sartre. Okay. So man is condemned to freedom.
It's true.
And when you have this, I mean, it now is kind of simulating this hunter, this mm-hmm instinct is now being like simulated in this weird way. And like, learning about, because now I'm starting to do a little bit of food styling, like how I'm supplementing my income is with food jobs. It always has been food jobs. But it's wild and it feels so scammy to me when I'm putting makeup on food and dressing up and zhuzhing food and painting it and propping it up. And it's to sell this or to style a shoot. Let's say like, I was styling a shoot. I was assisting on a shoot where it was someone who was like an online persona who's doing a branded deal where it's like, here's some things you can make with insert brand at home with your family.
Okay.
That's the thing. So what they're trying to sell is stuff that's easy to do with kids. Meanwhile, there's like five of us all huddled around making this thing. That's not easy. And they're all perfect. And they all have to be perfect. And they're swapped out. And there's like nine that we're choosing from. And this is supposed to be what like you make with your kid.
And then you're watching
that at home. And you're like, God, I can't recreate this magical moment with my children. And they said it was so easy. It was sold to me as so easy. Lies.
Also, kids will make sure you can't create that magical moment because they get bored. They're like, Mom, there's no time to like make sure the glitter is perfect. I've got to go throw something or pee or jump on something. Like there's no way. The magical moment thing is just a sham. I hate mommy bloggers. I hate them.
I don't like them. I do not.
I don't.
No.
Everything is turned into QVC. That's the thing that bothers me.
Instagram is QVC.
Like the whole quote influencer culture, content creator. I know that we haven't, you know, I don't want to yuck the new generation's form of communication, but
yuck whatever you want.
Okay, well then yuck.
Yeah, come on. We'll
find it disgusting.
Yes. It is.
And it's also...
Influencer culture is crazy.
I think it's insane. And then it's also this new expectation. Like, it's that if you aren't creating... Like, I'm sure you've seen, like, on TikTok or Instagram, like, somebody goes like, hey, make this 9-to-5 job, like, supplemental income. And everybody's talking about how, like, you're some kind of an idiot if you're not also sponsored. Like, there's then this feeling of, like, you better or should have been sponsored for X, Y, and Z because then you can really be a real person on the internet. Like, it's so fucked.
It's so frustrating because, like, I'd never post on anything, really, mm-hmm, or sometimes I'll tweet. I don't know. But, like... it's frustrating because I remember, you know, when I was living in Pittsburgh and I really, you know, I was just kind of, I was like the Tara Reid of Pittsburgh. Did not have. Hot. I didn't have like
Tara Reid of Pittsburgh. Excuse me.
That's it was hot. Wild.
I was a mess.
I will read that memoir in a second. I am there.
Mess. Oh, it was a wild time.
Oh my God.
But like, I was like into different. And we've talked about. It was a wild time. And you know what? Someday I will write all these crazy stories down. But Pittsburgh Crew was a very real thing.
Yeah.
I will never. They are always my roll dogs. I don't care.
Of course.
How far away well, I
when
am
you're
from
Tara
them,
Reid.
But. When you're Tara Reid.
But you have to have your dogs.
Another scammy thing. So I was raw. So like diets are, I yes. think, a scam. But like
all diets
I
are
was
a scam.
Raw for a little bit. I was mm-hmm. vegan for a while.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that came from I was very depressed. And so I cut sugar out. And then I was like, okay, so let me think about my diet. So it was like kind of, you know, intuitively doing that. But anyway, I was really into food.
Yeah, of
and,
course.
I was always into food, but this was like kind of like where I was really paying attention to things. And I started a blog, a food blog, just because I was like, oh, I like these recipes and I want to like write.
Cool.
It wasn't like, you know, so long that you know, these entries about like my life or anything. It was just like, this is an apple, vegan apple pie that I
yeah,
made
yeah, I
and
love
took
those.
Into work. Well, that's the thing. I can't, I don't like, it feels like, and I have this conversation with my partner. It feels like I can't do things like that because then it's like, I'm trying to do a thing. Like it
because it's already become
like
cookie cutter.
Oh, now I'm, yeah, it's like, oh, you're trying to be an influencer. It's I don't know if it's going to be received as like.
It's like a caricature.
I'm genuinely just kind of.
Yeah.
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 It all because, like, I think Instagram and like these food influencers have really fucked up the game in terms of food and like your expectations around.
Genuinely enjoying something.
Yeah.
Yeah, genuinely enjoying something. Just wanting to feed yourself. Or your family or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Caitlin, you sent this article about the social media influencer who's like a Darius Cooks.
Yeah.
And I guess like he like steals recipes, which I will say recipes are not copywritten. So you can steal a recipe and that's not really
that's
like people are you could be mad about it. But like, unfortunately,
well, he didn't.
Oopsie daisy.
Yeah. He didn't only just steal recipes. He also created like a fraud company. That claimed to get you out of credit card debt. It was bizarre. But that's what's so funny. That was so crazy because I'm reading this and I'm reading the article. I'm like, ooh, like a recipe stealing thing. And then I start reading and my husband Alan's looking at my shoulder and he's like, oh, come on, what? Like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know. I need to get into this. Like, this is bonkers, which is just like the funniest thing. It's like he could have stopped at stealing recipes. Like, that's enough cuckoo-ness
for me. I just don't understand how he was getting people to participate in financial scams as a food person. You know what I mean? Like,
it was a totally different company.
Okay. It was a fraud. Oh.
Well, and then I think he had it be the guys, we were going to put this in our notes too. Hold on, I'm going to sign in now. I think he had it be under like somebody's cakes. Like it's under the name of the cake place.
Oh my God.
Hold on. I have to, sorry. I'm going to open it up right now because I closed my thing.
Yeah.
Because
of my, Here's another tick. This reminds me, though, of a scam that Priya and I have been following, which is the pink sauce on TikTok. Are you
what
familiar with pink sauce on TikTok?
Oh, okay. Caitlin.
No.
So there
I
was
it was
an
influence.
I wish it was just germs.
It might be, actually, to be fair. I don't know what it is.
So there was someone on TikTok. This was in the summer, earlier in the summer and early in the year, who went viral with her, this condiment she had created called pink sauce. It was a pink sauce. And.
Okay. From people her vagina were, or like, was it really?
She was making it from home.
It was something real in a kitchen, right? It wasn't just her like.
I mean, it was real in a kitchen, but like it was not through any sort of real food distribution center sort of situation. It was all very. So she was mailing people these. It looked like a ketchup bottle, but it was pink.
Ooh.
And it says pink. And the sauce itself, the ingredients, you know, the labels and stuff had when people were ordering it would have like a lot of typos, and it also wouldn't, like, the number one ingredient was milk, but they're sending, she's mailing these, pink sauces, like, not in any sort of cooler, you know, like, just rancid.
It was rancid. And they'd be getting it, like, different, like, people would get different colored pink sauce.
Different
it'd be
consistencies.
Like a magenta.
This is the thing, pink sauce, it's,
and then,
looks disgusting.
Yeah. And so people were posting about it after they'd bought it. And also she was sending it in, not in a box. She was mailing it out in those mail bags. So like sauces were, it just pink like explosion.
Like Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, Pepto-Bismol explosion. And she also, when she was marketing it, she wasn't really being clear about what it tasted like. Just like, this is pink sauce. Pink sauce is cool. And everyone was like, yeah. I mean, you're talking to a person who buys things just because they're pink.
Yeah, I love I love pink.
I love pink. But then people were getting it. And they're like, this is weird. It smells bad. We don't know. And people were saying, I guess it kind of tastes like ranch a little bit. But now
she had food. This girl had food poisoning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that'll happen when you ship milk in a bag to
order
somebody
something
from
Florida. Order.
And she's, of course, based in Florida.
Yeah.
Just, you know. But here's the really here's where things get really upsetting. Mm-hmm. I was, Priya and I were like, what happened to Pink Sauce Lady? Because we were catching up yesterday trying to think, like, what are we going to talk about today on ScamWow? And I just did a little Goog because I wanted to figure out what's up with Pink Sauce. Pink Sauce now has legitimate distribution.
No repercussions
for that. Not only that.
That we know of.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Like, they got a deal and they're like,
there was a write-up in Bon Appetit. It's like a pink. Yeah. That's the article I sent you that was like updating me was from Bon Appetit.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
TikTok's putting food coloring in it? What makes it pink?
There are legitimate chefs and home cooks or whatever, like people who are starting out in the industry who cannot get that kind of a deal, who are giving like actual products made from actual food.
Working so hard.
In cottage kitchens or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then this person, I feel like TikTok's a scam.
TikTok can change life. Yeah.
It really can. It can change your life.
Can change. You could. Wait, do you guys hear the saxophone playing right now?
I do. I was just curious.
I love that.
Okay. Who's playing
this
smooth
jazz? This is my favorite part about my apartment. Yes. No, so my neighbor downstairs is a professional saxophonist, and he's in multiple bands and he teaches. And he has always said to me, like, if it's ever too loud, tell us and I'll stop. And Alan and I are like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is the way we like lower our blood pressure. This is the way we feel like we're New York City, like connected. And also I'm doing like a podcast about scams. I'm like, not going to say he can't like earn money teaching lessons with like beautiful classical saxophone. I'm like, it's fine, buddy. It's fine. So we've had this like in a couple episodes, listeners know that like the saxophone might just start playing and it's like a fun background music. I love him. They're so nice. Like they have a kid and obviously we have like the loudest child in the world. And so Lewis is like, one day, guys, I fell out of my own bed. Like as an adult woman last week, this is maybe it was the week of my birthday. Things weren't going well. I just rolled over fell out of my bed like a full adult, flat down on my bed. And I texted them like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, we heard nothing. They're the most chill, kind people. And so, you know,
I used to live, the person who lives in the apartment next to mine, but they moved out. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I was living next to a concert pianist.
Oh, I love
her. Who that's had exquisite. It's like living in Nordstrom.
And she would just play and I would hear it through the wall. And I was just indoors all the time. And I felt so bad that like, I'm living next to a classical musician. I'm hearing beautiful music. She lives next to a comedian who is screaming and playing Housewives at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I have to tape notices on my door every time I have to do a self-tape where I scream. Because that's like where I guess I'm at with breakdowns, where they often just want me to scream. And so I have to put notes on my door. Like, I apologize for the blood-curdling scream that's going to come out of my fucking house.
Well, that's really nice of you to do that.
That's really nice. I don't do that.
I'm encouraged by
I'm a sweetheart.
Both of you saying that I guess there's a here's the thing. I stopped playing my violin and I feel like if I were to play, it would not evoke the kind words that you
I think it will, Priya. I think it will.
It's not
good. You have to be good in order to like people like it when people
I'm charmed when it's bad. I'm actually I've heard occasionally I mean, she was very good. She very rarely ever messed up. I want to be very clear. But occasionally when I would hear her like do a passage over again, I would be on the other side of that wall rooting for her. I was also going through stuff. I was going through
stuff. We're all going through it.
I was cheering for it. Just like, you got it. You got it.
Up against the wall. Like, you got it, baby.
You can do it.
Just stretch. You can make it.
One more time. One more time. And no one knows but me. No one knows but us.
No one knows but me. It's just you and our, it's our little secret.
It's our little,
you got it.
Priya, you should. Also, I will say, and like, again, this is, we have been aging ourselves this entire episode because we're talking about like Gen Z and TikTok, but like no one, there's no classical music anywhere now. Like there's no, you really don't see it or hear it. And so when it happens, it's so exciting. It's like, oh my God, it's this like beautiful, this beautiful sound. It's so, I love that like my son is hearing it. And like it happens for us, Priya, at 5 p.m. right when Alan and I are about to like shit hits the fan where I'm like, over it. We're over each other. We're over the baby. And it's like we call it our cocktail hour because we all like take a deep breath and we relax. And I think you'll do that for someone. And now Lewis knows what a saxophone is. Like he's curious about it. Like if anybody listens to you, they'll be like, oh, wow, what's a violin? Why haven't I ever heard
it? Why does it sound like a cat? Like, you know, in heat.
If you could play anything.
As long as it's not an oboe, you're fine. You know what I mean?
As long as it's not.
My sister,
I love the oboe shade.
My sister was my sister played the clarinet and the oboe growing up. Oh, and let me tell you, there is nothing worse than a wind instrument that is being learned by a child.
That's true.
Clarinet is a beautiful instrument, but when you're like, like that is hard. That is hard.
I did clarinet, and then you had to practice, and I was like, I can't do this.
And you have to suck on that reed, that disgusting saliva-soaked piece of wood, and kids, preteens already smell like dried spit as it is.
It's gross.
It's a wild thing you do with your mouth in order to play
the clarinet. It's a wild thing. But Priya, you should. You should be playing.
You should play the violin. You should.
Okay.
You absolutely
should. I
didn't even know. You're one of my best friends, and I didn't even know you played the violin.
I didn't know.
I used to put it on my acting resume, and then I got called in for a part where they were like, you need to play the violin. I was like, I was like supposed to be like some sexy violinist or something. And that audition was bad. And so then I just kind of like put the violin.
But you know what is
this? One, I'm not a sexy type.
That's
two,
really hard.
They were like, play something. Play something. And I just like played like G over and over again. Like it was just like a not good.
No, that happens so much. If I have a bad audition or like any sort of bad live experience in that situation, I'm like, okay, now I'm done forever. Like it really can like shock you.
Yes, yeah. And that's a wrap on that forever.
Yeah.
That door's closed.
We're wrapped.
Now.
Yeah. That's why I stopped doing stand up. A comedian came up after me and made fun of the joke I made. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't like be afraid that the audience is going to make fun of me and then the comedian makes fun of me. And I was like, I don't have the balls for this. I don't want the balls for this.
It is a cruel.
It is cruel. It's just like cruel. It's absolutely cruel.
We just torture ourselves.
We
honestly.
Do. Yeah. We love it. We live to torture. And I know that we keep aging. I know we keep acting. And we're not that old.
We're not
old.
We're not old.
However, I will say, I used to hate jazz. I was like, why would anyone like jazz? Why would anyone like this chaotic bullshit elevator music? Mm-hmm. Now, I love it.
I love it.
It calms you down. It calms you down.
I agree.
It calms me down.
My partner plays it for dinner, and my kid loves it. So we like, you know, when we're having dinner or whatever, he always plays music because that's what his mom did.
That's so healthy. We watch TV. We put the TV on and sit in front of the TV.
That's how I was raised.
Play some basketball.
My parents used to make me take, I know this sounds abusive, but my parents used to be like, take off your clothes because I'm a spiller. We spilled, me and my sister. So we would just be down in our underwear in front of a television eating food.
He comes in the house and just takes off his clothes because he's like, I'd rather be naked. And I'm like, well, this is a place to do it.
Great.
Honestly, that's very clean of him because outside's very dirty. Clothes are very dirty.
He takes them off right away.
Very dirty.
Immediately. That's so funny.
We do watch basketball during when the season is going sometimes. But the jazz, like, our kid loves it. She's 2 years old. And I'm like, I feel like it makes total sense to a 2 year old.
Yes. The
complete, like, sort of like,
I can follow 15 seconds and that's it.
2 year olds talking for them is playing jazz. They're doing jazz all day. They're doing jazz on all of it, on anything,
on everything.
On everything.
Every concept.
Every concept they're doing jazz on.
They read a book like jazz, they just look at a couple pages and flip it and go to the next one. Like everything is jazz.
It starts technical and then it's like,
That's so true.
And that's babies. Says a woman who plays no instruments and has no kids.
But you don't need to. You don't need to have that to really cut down to the essence.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Another scam I was thinking of that Priya and I had talked about that the internet reminded me of was the Special K diet.
Oh, my God.
What? Was it?
Do you remember the Special K diet?
Oh, yes. My God. It was like if you had a toddler in the like late 90s, early 2000s, you ate Special K.
So Special K is that like cereal. It's like cornflakes with like a dried strawberry. Like yes, some dried strawberry flakes in there.
Yes.
And the Special K diet was... Hey, it's so easy to lose weight. You just replace two of your meals with a bowl of Special K a day. Yeah. And that was the Special K diet.
So it was just just eating one food.
It was just eating specifically their food, which again, marketing genius.
I know.
It was a genius.
It's a genius marketing idea.
What is the demographic? Yes, women who
already got this for their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Already got this for the women who want to eat sensibly and lose weight. And then they're like, hey, don't eat for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Devoid of nutrition. Eat our shit. Devoid of nutrition, fiber.
It's so true.
Anything.
And I was actually just talking about this with my husband today because I have like a, well, obviously I was talking about it with my husband because he's the only person in the house that I can talk to about this because my my four-year-old doesn't understand it.
Yeah, he's just going to play jazz on
it. Yeah, he's just like dancing around in his underwear. And I'm like, you don't know what it's like to be a woman. So I was talking about like the years and years of diet culture that had convinced me that I am screwed up unless I have sort of like a checks and balances. And I was in a weight loss program. And it was kind of this thing of like you have somebody that you connect to and reach out to and you turn over your food to them and you like say all this stuff. And it made me feel like, and I had this feeling going into it that like I can't do it on my own. Like I'm going to need another person, another like big brother, another like figure to make sure that I don't eat crazy. Well, I quit all of that because I realized I was just like, did not want to do it. And I was like, texting this person and I just like didn't care. And then I would feel guilty like when I was texting her. And I've never felt better just being like, sometimes I like to eat. And sometimes I like I'm the unlearning of diet culture is so fucked up. And it's made me have this circle. It's made me have this concept that like I was unsafe if I was eating on my own without like a diet or plan in place. And it was also why I didn't realize I had a gluten allergy for years, because I also thought with diet culture, I was just trying to be trendy. And I was like, I thought it was sort of like one of those things. Like, I'm just trying to be cool. And maybe I just want to lose weight. And I did, always. I always just want to lose 10 pounds. But like, was that just me? Like, I couldn't, so much of like not, is of that is being built on that you can't trust yourself to just eat normally.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
You don't trust your body's intuition.
And even like, what we were raised on the fat-free, you know, we were that generation of like, here's how you can have here's the reduced calories. So because we know you can't trust yourself and you're going to eat a whole bag of this. So this is going to be a 100 calorie
the
bag.
Trips that you shit your pants in. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The what?
Remember Olestra?
Olestra. They had those chips that were like, this is so good for you. You're going to lose weight eating these chips. And it's because it was like a straight up diuretic where you like shat your pants.
And people were like,
heard of these.
You have to look them up. Chet, Olestra was so big. And it was like
so huge.
Probably right before like veganism almost. Like right?
Yeah.
Right in that.
It was like in the mid 90s. Yeah. Late 90s.
Like right before that became like the diet.
Oh my God.
And it was like you could eat a fuck ton of chips.
What were those?
It's a fat substitute. Yes.
It's a fat substitute
that makes you shit your pants.
It's like bad for your colon. It's like very, very
wow. It also it says that it also, according to Time magazine, it also negated the body's ability to absorb essential nutrients.
Oh yeah,
it's bad. It was so bad for you. It's
you'd
like
be
that
dying.
It was like the Snackwell generation.
Yeah. Ugh. Right after that,
aspartame.
Yeah.
Everything fake. Yes. Can't believe it's not food.
Yes. And that's what's so crazy is that like not only – so here we are hunting and gathering for our own food. We can't find a price that's right. Then we're made to believe that like our natural instincts were such heathens that like we just want to eat everything and insane. And when like I don't think any of that is true. I really don't think any of that is true.
Yeah.
But I was brought up to
think. No.
Yeah.
I think so much of like food – culture as like a community is so important. And I think that's what historically grounded people into like eating things. It's like, this is what you eat and this is how you eat. Like I grew up eating very much a Gujarati diet. Like every day I had the same type of two course meal of like rotli shak darbat, like just rice, lentils, vegetables, rotis. And like now that I don't have that. I don't do that. I don't do that for my family because it's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot
to make all that shit. It's a lot of dishes.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of dishes. It's a lot of dishes every day. A lot of dishes to make too.
It's like kind of a long process.
Yeah.
And so I make other things, but it is hard when you have like, you're supposed to take it upon yourself and you think, and then you see like all these people making all kinds of stuff and you're like, well, I guess I should be making that. When really like, rice, vegetables, if you eat meat, then a little, you know, bit of meat or whatever, is like a perfectly good, simple thing to eat.
Yes.
I think the scam of like, there's this recipe and I feel like that's what I have to make and all this stuff. And then you're like, oh shit, well, there's cheese. Maybe I'll get the low fat cheese. And then you start like spiraling. I don't know. That's how I felt was like, I start spiraling and then it's like, fuck, I can just make. When I had the revelation of just making rice and like, tofu and vegetables and that was it.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's I could just make that and it takes me half an hour.
Yes.
And it's healthy.
Speaking of half an hour, here's another scam. The phrase 30-minute meals.
Oh, that's a scam.
That's bullshit.
That's never been
prep time.
That's not
an
real.
Hour.
That's not real. As a food stylist?
Yeah.
I know. No way.
Unless you open a can of tomato sauce and put it in a thing. And then walk away for 30 minutes.
Who's 30 minutes?
Who's 30 minutes?
Yeah. Who's 30?
Yeah.
Who's 30? What are you talking about?
That's so
from
true.
Start to finish. Maybe if you're a professional chef and you've done all of the prep work, it's 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Bullshit and a half.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit and a half.
Exactly.
Everything, even the simple, and I'm someone who cooks a lot, I'm trying to do more professional cooking, and it still, it takes me pretty much always an hour to cook everything. Anything will take an hour. Base an hour.
Yeah.
Yes.
Based.
Even if yes. you, even if you prep. I mean, like, I want to make beans take 3 hours to make if you want to, the minimum. Like, you soak them for an hour and then everything, like, prepping things, if you want to eat well, eating well, I'll say this, the scam of being, like wanting to eat well, but you can't because of the capitalist society that we live in.
Yeah.
You're unable to have that time to make the food for yourself and your family, whoever you're cooking for. And then you're like, okay, I have to find these shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And the shortcuts available to you are overpriced, overprocessed.
Yeah.
You know, you're unable to get certain ingredients because you live in a food desert, whatever it is. Yeah. That's the scam.
Yes.
I think. That's the big scam.
But that they put it on the consumer. I think that's what it's driving us all crazy right now. Is that like, and that sort of circles back to like the mommy blogs and stuff, that they're like, hey, look, the average woman can do this and look how well I'm doing it with 15 other people styling it behind me and somebody taking care of my kids right now and this extra income I have flowing in. Like there's...
Yeah, and my husband works at Google. It's so easy. Like I just, my husband works, I mean, and Seth works at Google, but
yeah, whatever. We have a couple like, you know, accounts in our name and like far off islands and we're super rich.
Yeah, we have we have a night nurse, but like also it was a push present from my, the night my nurse. Mother-in-law. Oh my God, the night nurse presents. Was a push present from my mother-in-law. But
when I learned about a push present, my brain fell out my ass. I had no idea. Like
it. So anyway, I don't like that phrase at all. But as soon as I heard push present, maybe this is just something wrong with me. My brain was like, that makes sense.
I want gifts.
You know what? If you want one, go for it.
I want gifts.
It should be bigger. It should be big. It shouldn't be push present. It should be push payment. Year. It should be push
payment.
Something. You know what I mean? Like there's, I don't want a tennis bracelet. I want a year off.
But yes. But I mean, here's the, so yeah, I think, well, for me, it was like the push present was like afterwards, I was like, I have need help with everything. Like, I was also like, this is like, now you're in servitude, my lovely husband, because like this baby came out of my body, not yours. So you're in charge of waking up and feeding and everything. Cause I was like, that was like, he was
and
in
C-section. Amazing. I mean,
yeah, forget it. Forget it.
Forget it.
You know what?
Abdominal surgery.
Yeah. It's so crazy, guys. It's so crazy how, I will say one thing for like any woman listening, because I have a bunch of friends that I'll talk to before they have the baby or when they're like, you know, 8 months pregnant, they're so nervous about like, is the hospital going to trick me? There's like that Ricky Lake movie came out that like fucked up everybody and got everyone so scared, like the business of being born and everyone's afraid that like they're going to make money off of you. I will tell you in my experience, genuinely, doctors just want the baby to be healthy. Like, they just want the baby to be alive. And I think there's, like, a lot of fear going into it that, like, C-section is, like, forced upon you. But I have had great friends of mine who've been in labor for, like, 36 hours. And the doctor's like, can we please do cesarean? Because the baby's, like, not getting the nutrients or fluid. Like, there's a point where, like, I think cesareans, sadly, are common because we don't have enough information about women's bodies, but I don't think that they're common because doctors are monsters. Most aren't. And so it's like, I always have these friends that have this fear going to give birth because no, we can't trust anything as women and we're skeptical of everything. But I don't think that like a cesarean is a solution that is like a cash cow for the doctors, that they're all sitting there going like, I can't wait to just cut it open. Like it's usually because the kid needs something, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you on that for sure. Yeah. I did a birthing center. Mm-hmm. And I did that because I've had bad experiences in hospitals just because my body, like with the medical like grade stuff, like I woke up during surgery.
Oh my God.
They needed help.
Oh my God.
I was getting surgery. And I was totally knocked out under my arm. There was like this lump.
Oh no.
And they weren't sure if it was like precancerous or whatever. So I woke up and they were blaring Lady Gaga in the OR.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is a fucking party. Yeah. And like, I was like, do you need help? You guys rule. Like, I was having so much fun and they just like cranked up.
Yeah.
It was literally Bad Romance. I remember.
Oh my God.
It was so good.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And so like, when I got my wisdom teeth out, like there was like a nerve damage and shit like that. I couldn't feel my face for a while. It's just like little things. And so I was like, let me just.
Sure.
And there is a lot of, I had a lot of anxiety about having a kid.
Yes. I think they're amazing.
But it's great. Yeah, and birthing centers are great. Amazing. But like I did some research and yes, like some hospitals, I think there are protocols that are put into place
right.
to ensure their end too.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you're right. Like, people don't listen to women. And I think that is the, I think that is the underpinning of like these anti-vax moms.
Right.
And these, like, you know, whatever. Cause like, I'm a little in that new agey mm-hmm. crystal vibe, but sure. like, I think if like these mommy blogs and people like have, they don't, they're not listened to
right.
often.
Right.
People, women are not listened to in a medical
sense. And so, unfortunately, they are making us listen to them.
Them. And that's really bad. But, like, I agree. I don't think
know what's up.
I haven't met, like, a doctor that's, like, no, that's not true. I think there are some doctors who obviously don't listen to women. But right. I think that, ultimately, like, an OBGYN wants to have a baby that's healthy and born. And I think that, like, a C-section is a perfectly fine. I was in, my delivery was, like, long. Mm-hmm. I was in transition for like 7 hours. It was or 4 hours. It was way longer than 30 minutes when you're supposed to just be in there for 30 minutes.
I can't imagine.
And so I was like, yeah, get me to the hospital and get this baby out. And I was willing to get a C-section. And of course, she was born like 15 minutes after I said that.
Amazing.
But
I think another thing is that's a scam is that we try to think that there is a hard and fast rule of like, this is the one way. Everybody, we are a beautiful little fucked up snowflake meat sacks, and they're all different, and that there is no universal standard way.
Yeah.
And that it is, and because we don't listen to the patient or the woman or whatever, and even more so a woman of color, even more so in a gynecological or obstetrical setting, a non-female identifying person, birthing person is listened to even less. But it's just such cuckoo, goddamn bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such it's scams.
It is.
Scammy.
It is. Mm. It is. And I think like with that though, like that's not to say that anybody who's been treated poorly should feel that, like, you should feel as enraged as possible. But also, I think that to trust your instincts. So if you think something's off, or if you think like, well, maybe this cesarean is a good idea, you're not just being pushed through because of the system. Like if you, I was like, I think we need to get this baby out for Lewis. So there's the thing too, with all that too, that you like second guess yourself as a patient because we're being told we're too emotional, or we're being told the hospital just wants to make money and have a surgery.
Yeah.
But if you genuinely are like, no, this needs to happen. Like I'd love for this to happen. Yeah.
As somebody who delivered at a birthing center, I had a great experience. I loved the care that I received from the midwives and the nurse midwives. I would never be like, you're a dumbass to go to a hospital. Like, there are people who feel that way. And that's unfortunate because, like, you have to do your research. Because now do your research is like, means like you're QAnon.
Right. Unfortunately, yes.
But, like, pay attention and be mindful.
Do your due diligence. They can't take
due diligence.
They definitely didn't take diligence because they are not even, they don't claim to be diligent.
No. Due diligence. No. Yeah, do your due diligence.
Yeah.
And I think like, and like have conversation, like talk to.
And all birth is natural. Any birth is natural. There's this big
push.
I think C-sections get a bad rap among our generation of like, this is, you got, if your body can do it. My body is doing it.
Oh yeah.
My body is doing it.
Yeah, my body's freaking out saying, get the baby out of me another way.
Exactly.
Yeah,
my body's like going nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Historically, we've lost so many babies because we have the technology and we have the thing. Let's just like not do that. Let's not go back to that. Yeah. People are like, natural births, we've been doing it forever. It's like,
and women have and been then, dying like, forever.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Yeah. And just, you have 15 kids because two are going to make it.
Yeah. It's not great, guys. The women's lives weren't thriving when it came to that department. No.
Medieval medical the wellness culture plague
wasn't great.
Yeah. Women were signed over like deeds to property. Yeah. Ding.
It's insane. And I think that comes back to like with the food scams and stuff that you do, it's exhausting, but there's so much that you have to research, look out for, read, join a co-op. Like there's so much work that is inherently frustrating. And I think that just that frustration is allowed. Like we should say like, yeah, you should be pissed off. This does suck. Like this does suck that you have to take it on your own to make sure that your food for your dog hasn't like ground up like, you know, porcupines in it. Or is that like, just like you have to make sure.
You have to do all this work. Sure. You have to do everything.
Yeah.
And it's
because
all
they deregulated everything and they don't fucking care.
Yes. But also we can do it. I'm also just like, I know badass women and people, and I know we can do it. It just sucks, and let's complain about it.
Yeah, and it's just that in general, that food, like house, you know, like shelter is a necessity. It is a thing that we need to live. It is the housing is, and food are healthcare.
Right.
It's they're like and the fact that the now they are both industries and everything is being sold and you need to get quote unquote the best. And also this this obsession with organic and an obsession with unprocessed or this like fear of quote chemicals that everything is when literally everything is a chemical. Just this lack of information and fear, and it's just it's so fucked up at the same time. I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
At the same time. Well, we have a podcast talking about all of it.
At the same time. I love it. I love to see these. I love that I can spend 20 minutes in front of the freezer section, A, because I don't have anywhere or one to be with, and
that's a
B, because there's so many options I get to, like, look at and, like, oh, which one is the best? Do I want Daring Foods? Do I want an Impossible Burger? Do I want a Beyond Meat? It's just, like, all of these. I could be anything. You know, it's just, there's so much choice. There's so much shiny. It's, so like, in choice. A friend of mine recently, we went to the farmer's market last weekend, and afterwards, we were sunburnt. We'd spent a small fortune. Our bags were full. And she said to me, farmer's markets are adult theme parks, amusement parks. I feel like I just went to Disneyland because we've been in the sun. We're dehydrated. We spent too much money. We're coming back with, like, instead of a big bear, I'm coming back with just, like, all this eucalyptus I decided I need.
Something that needs water immediately that you have not put it in.
Yeah. The only thing you can't eat at a farmer's market you need to buy.
All of it. All the eucalyptus.
All of it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny. That is so funny, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's so true.
I love. But this was so fun. And I just love. I love you guys. This was
fun. And I love your podcast. Fun. I love scams. I love scams. Everything is a scam.
Every week, God's work. Guys, we come love every
it.
Day.
I love
God's
it.
God's work.
I love it. You're doing God's work.
Thank God. Amazing. Come every day. It's been a little lonely. So I'm like, come on in.
This is the new adults now get podcasts to talk to people.
Yes.
To have conversations.
To hang out with their friends.
Yes. To have uninterrupted time to talk.
I love
literally
this.
We would love to come on anytime.
Anytime. And you are welcome on ours anytime. Anytime.
For real.
No, she speaks for me. I prefer when she does.
No, no, same.
She sticks her ass up, her hand up my ass and pop at me, baby.
I stick my ass up.
She sticks her ass up and says, I'm Kat.
Yeah, she makes her butt talk. Like, I stick her ass.
It really works.
This is
for
my
us,
Chet
though.
Impression.
It's like really good.
Her butt does a good one.
It's really good.
My butt does a great Chet impression.
I'm so glad. I want that.
Oh, what a delight. Thank you so much for having
thank you guys
us.
I love so you. Much. I love you guys thank so much. You. I want to chat all the time. Now that I'm going to start a text thread, okay?
Yes.
Because I want to know how you're doing. And I want to talk about acting stuff.
It's going to be crickets on my end.
But that's great. I mean, this is all, no.
It's not true. You also just had a film at, like, Nighthawk recently.
You did.
That was filmed in 2019.
Doesn't matter, baby.
That's Hollywood, baby. That's
you're
Hollywood.
In it, honey.
That's Hollywood. That's the release schedule.
And it just matters now. You better post that shit. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You better post like crazy. Oh, shoot. Okay, my husband's like, we are leaving now. I have to go get my
I love
son.
You.
Okay. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.